الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
جیسا کہ آپ جانتے ہیں گزشتہ چند ہفتے
As you are all aware, for the last few weeks, I was on a tour of Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and some other countries. As is my normal practice, the rainfall of blessings of Allah the Almighty that are seen during the tours, I mention after my visit. Thus today, I will relate this briefly. To count the blessings of Allah the Almighty and to know its extent is impossible. For just when we think that we have achieved the pinnacle of the blessings of Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty immediately brings about such provisions which removes this misunderstanding of ours. And Allah says that those things which you believe are infinite blessings are in fact just the beginning. Now, I shall advance you one step forward. So thus, the measure of the blessings of Allah the Almighty and to know their extent is beyond human capacity. In particular, when at every turn, the promises of Allah the Almighty brings about new glad tidings for us, which Allah the Almighty made with the promised Messiah on whom be peace. These prophecies were made by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mention of the countless blessings of Allah the Almighty are something far off. I do not even understand from which blessing should I begin this mention of the blessings of Allah. Nonetheless, I shall present a summary of the blessings of Allah the Almighty which during these 7 weeks we witnessed during the tour. Some of the details are found in the reports of the additional Wakil al-Tabshir, which he is sending to Al-Fazl and are being published. Some would have read these. But however, to depict and to illustrate and to describe some of the blessings is impossible. The expressions on the faces of people when they mention their viewpoints relating to the Jamaat. To relate that 100% can neither be done by me or nor can it be reported by anyone else. Indeed, to some extent, this can be visible on MTA. And some of this may already have been broadcast. For the English-speaking community, the press desk on this occasion had made good arrangements. Various of the important occasions during the tour were reported by the press desk to the Ahmadis of the world. Nonetheless, every tour and every single day gives us new awareness of the subject of gratitude to God. Further, it gives us proof and evidence of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Nonetheless, after this introduction, I shall relate the circumstances of the tour and the blessings of God the Almighty. The first stage of our tour was Singapore. At the Singapore airport, in addition to the Ahmadis of Singapore, there were some Ahmadi men and women from Indonesia and Malaysia, including office holders. There was a wondrous emotional state that befell them. You would have, to some extent, realized this during some of the clips that were shown during the Friday sermon on MTA. This tour to Singapore was for approximately 10 days. In this, I met Ahmadis and delegations from Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei, Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Papua New Guinea, and Myanmar. Approximately 2,500 Ahmadis had come from Indonesia. All of these Ahmadis were not very well off or well-to-do Ahmadis. However, they were replete with sincerity, devotion and loyalty. Some had taken out loans, or they had sold something or even sold properties to cover the expenditure of their travel. As I have mentioned once before, perhaps in one of my Friday sermons during the tour, that if these people had any concern, it was that they requested for prayers for their faith and religion, that Allah the Almighty always enables them to remain steadfast upon it. There were some amongst them who for approximately a year's period had been homeless, because the people there had driven them out of their homes. They were living in temporary shelters. Yet despite this, they did not sacrifice their faith. Rather, their faith has been further strengthened. In addition to the engagements within the Jamaat, for example, meetings, mulaqat, and also classes that are held, there were also programs held with non-Ahmadis. Here in Singapore, there was also a reception. In it, non-Ahmadis who had come from Indonesia participated. This included professors, scholars, politicians, people from well-educated communities, as well as journalists. There were two newspaper journalists who participated, who also interviewed me. There, I introduced the Jamaat and also spoke with reference to the circumstances of the Jamaat there. The people who attended hailed from all walks of life. As I stated, this included non-Ahmadis, who amounted to 48 guests. This included a university professor, a former member of parliament, and 8 representatives of a religious organization, Nahiyatul Ulama. One professor is from a university, and he was seated beside me. After listening to the lecture, which was just a brief address, this person said the following: "If you come to Indonesia, we will make arrangements for you to deliver a lecture there." I said, "This would be very good if you could arrange this. However, perhaps you do not realize the extent to which people will raise a hue and cry." Nonetheless, some of them were greatly sincere, although they were members of the Ulama Council. In this reception in Singapore, one of the guests, Mr. Lee Kun Chai, was present. For 29 years, he has been the ambassador and high commissioner of 8 countries. He has been a member of parliament and also a senior member of state. He is amongst these founding fathers of Singapore. He stated that when I was the ambassador in Egypt in the 60s, there were excellent relations between Egypt and other Arab countries. Peace was established. However, in the last few years, peace has been totally destroyed in the Arab countries. A wrong image of Islam is being presented. However, he said that what I am happy with, and this is something I appreciate, that the head of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is presenting before the world the true and real Islam of peace, which he is illuminating, and he is conveying this message. Despite the fact that he is retired, he is among such persons in Singapore who every single person greatly respects and reveres. Similarly, the head of the Indonesian Mosque Council, Muslimah Talent Department, and the head of Women's Studies and a lecturer at the State University in Jakarta, Mr. Ida Ziyada, said the following. After listening to my address, that the Jamaat should take the arts and sciences and advances of the developed countries and take it to the developing countries and should become a guiding community to fight against international injustice and poverty. Here my address was regarding the economic state of the world and what Islam says in this regard. So thus he took this point further. He says that today no other community has such a system, organization and leadership which is found in the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Today it is only the Ahmadiyya Muslim community who is a true depiction of Islam. So this person is a professor of an Islamic university. Mr. Tasik Malaya is a member of a youth movement. He stated after my address that this message should be conveyed to each and every Indonesian people so that they can learn of the true teachings of Islam which are based on peace and harmony. Then a Mr. Sufiano Sufianto Sahib, who is a PhD professor in the University of Indonesia. He stated that it is my desire that those people of Indonesia who are opposed to Ahmadiyyat should meet the Khalifa of the promised Messiah. They should listen to his words so that their hearts open. Today, it is only the Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat who is presenting Islam as a peace-loving religion. A journalist of the Indonesian newspaper Tribune is doing a PhD on Ahmadiyyat. He stated the following. The economic teachings of Islam based on humanity, justice and peace, which were relayed by the Khalifa of the promised Messiah, left a deep impression upon me. An English young gentleman has been residing in Singapore for the last 27 years. There he also accepted Islam. And it is there where he works in a company. He said, when I resolved that I should attend this program, my company held me back and said, you will not attend this program. Two or three times they tried to prevent me from attending. Perhaps the company belongs to a Muslim. To the extent that the company said that we will dismiss you from this job. Despite this, I attended the function. When he was expressing his viewpoints, he said, although I am a Muslim from before, today I have heard of the true and real teachings of Islam for the first time. This is the first time I have seen this depiction of Islam. He said, I will also come to the United Kingdom. He was also inclined by the fact that he would learn more about Islam and Ahmadiyyat, so that he could learn of the true Islam, and that he also desired to enter the Jamaat. In any case, may Allah the Almighty open his heart. There were also some guests who had come from Philippines. There was a professor of Asian and Islamic Studies from Philippines University. So he first expressed his thanks that he was invited there, given the opportunity to attend and to meet me. He said that whatever was discussed, because he sat with me for some time and we spoke in detail. He said, from this, I have realized that it is the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat alone who can unite all Muslims. He said that this is the way of uniting all, which has been explained. That is referring to me. that we should return to the true teachings of Islam from Allah the Almighty and the Holy Quran. Similarly, a person who has served as the Philippine Secretary of Education stated the following. This person is also a Muslim. He says that I bear witness with regards to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat that they are about to triumph. He said that just as in the era of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muslims were persecuted. Today, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is being persecuted in the same way. Just like Islam was victorious in the first era, today the Ahmadiyya Jamaat will be victorious. This is a certainty, and we are witnessing this now. When Ahmadiyyat will obtain a glorious triumph, we will inshallah also be a part of it. Some amongst the people there, as a result of some of the organizations which they fear, have practically become Ahmadis by heart. This was the actual program in Singapore, the reception. Apart from this, there was the Friday sermon and also Mulaqat. Thereafter, the tour of Australia began. There, after staying in Sydney for a few days, I went to Melbourne. Melbourne is approximately 800 or 900 miles from Sydney. There was a reception in Melbourne at the Princess Reception Centre. Approximately 220 guests from various walks of life participated. They were members of parliaments, senior officers of the armed forces. In fact, there was also an army chief who holds the rank of Major General. There were councillors of various countries, federal police officers. Then there were local councillors, as well as professors and other people. A state member of parliament of Victoria, Ms. Inga Polish, stated the following. Your message is such, which all Australians support, who have been formed from various nations and tribes. As Australians, we desire to adopt such a high message. In this respect, we fully cooperate with you who convey this message in this program. Here also, the message of Islam was with regards to peace and security. A member of parliament stated the following. Today the message which you conveyed was beyond religion. It was a message of humanity. All of us must adopt this. Humanity, justice, tolerance, and service of humanity are such qualities which the Imam of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya has related today. We must take these qualities forward with us. Then she states, I am aware that Ahmadi women are not only furthering this message, but in fact they are also practically acting upon it. What I know is that Ahmadi children are very moral, educated, and also respectful. Thus, all of us should adopt these qualities. This is the general viewpoint which is found regarding Ahmadis everywhere in the world. Wherever I go and I say something, then they speak with this reference. Thus, every woman, every children should further this viewpoint. You should always keep your viewpoint high. There is no need to fall into any complex. These people are ready to listen to what we have to say. Not only are they prepared, in fact, they like it and they desire to adopt what we state. Church of Jesus Christ. There was a Mary Lobley who is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, who stated that the manner in which the Imam of Jamaat Ahmadiyya explained the subject of peace in simple and easy words, every Australian can easily understand it. Today, this is the heart of every person in this hall, that for the establishment of peace, the only root is love. It was excellent that today we will return to our communities with this message. Then one guest stated, "My wife and I are in search of the truth for the last 18 years. Today on this night, what we heard was nothing but the truth." The speech of the Imam of the Jamaat was a complete message. There is only one thing, that we all should act upon it. We should adorn our hearts with this message. The Khalifa of the Promised Messiah did not only explain how peace can be established. In fact, he also elucidated what would come to pass if peace was not established. There is a famous TV channel there, ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. It is an official channel. The journalists expressing their views stated, "The speech of the Imam of the Jamaat was extremely measured, balanced, just and based on the reality. This speech has opened up our minds." A lady guest stated, whose name was Adrian Green, "I feel very proud that today I have participated in a splendid function." "I am deeply impacted that today he has spoken about world peace. I say openly today, I greatly love your values. I desire that the people of my country, Australia, adopt these very values more strongly. I also wish that you should convey your message to the people most certainly, because we need it." Stating these views, tears started emanating from this person. A counselor of Knox City expressed his views. "One thing is clear from the address of the Imam of the Jamaat, that you promote that which is actually your religion, that is, the religion of peace and security. The Imam of the Jamaat said something very correct, that only through peace will problems be resolved, and is that the guarantor of progress. The history of this country, Australia, is 200 years old. That is, the true natives of this soil, Aborigines, apart from them, those coming from abroad came here 200 years ago approximately. Today, observing a religious leader delivering such a splendid and grandeur message, it seems as if a breath of fresh air has been blown in Australia." He says that this is exactly what I said to my wife, that the sincere love of the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat's hearts emanates from their countenances. How good would it be if the Ahmadiyya Muslim community expands further and conveys their message of love and peace to many more people? So now it is the task of the Ahmadis of Australia to take this message and further it. There was a Pakistani Muslim participating there also, who stated the following, "I would like to also state that the dignity of this function was such that I have never observed in any other event." The Council General of Somalia was also present, who said that, "I listened to every word of your address very attentively and it left a deep impact." There was a Mr. Ghalib Jabir of Kuwait who stated, "I was extremely impacted by your analysis of the Arab Spring. This address which you gave seemed very fearless, but whatever you said was based exactly on the truth. I did not think that the analysis would be so complete and clear-cut. As I stated, there were numerous people. There were 220 guests who all had viewpoints, but not all of them can be expressed. Only a few have been just now. Thereafter, there were also private audiences. I have observed in the people there that they met with great sincerity. They did not just display outward morals. It seemed as if the words had an impact upon them, and those words which did impress them, they express not only through their viewpoints, but they would also express quite profusely whilst meeting with me.
Melbourne
Here, a center has also been purchased in Melbourne. This has not been previously mentioned in any Friday sermon. So therefore, I should state that this new center we have purchased in Melbourne is on a site of 7.5 acres. There was an existing building upon it. The outer section is of 2,500 square meters. There is a main hall, which according to a conservative estimate, enables for 3,000 people to offer their prayers. Coincidentally, the center is practically towards the Qibla. Combining the other hall, there is space for approximately 4,000 worshippers. There is a mission house, a guest house, two accommodation facilities, a library, a kitchen, a reading room, a store, and also another small hall. There are three parking lots in which more than 200 cars can be parked. In August 2007, a request was lodged here to purchase this site. The neighbors here raised many objections that permission should not be given for Muslims to build their place of worship. However, through the grace and mercy of Allah the Almighty, ultimately after a wait of 1.5 years, in 2009, the city council decided to give this center to the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. The decision was such that all the councillors, without exception, decided in favor of giving this to us. This was previously a park, then its status was changed, and it was made into a community center and mission house and registered. Thereafter, as you heard, and you also heard the views, most people's opinions completely transformed regarding the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. $800,000 was spent on the center, then it was repaired and renovated for a cost of approximately $1.3 million. In addition, as is our tradition, we carried out Vakari Amal, through which we save $500,000. If we look at the current market value of this place, it would be approximately 5 million Australian dollars. It is a favor of Allah the Almighty that He enables for us to acquire such places so cheaply. We then returned to Sydney. There, the Khilafah Jubilee Hall, which was constructed, was inaugurated. It has capacity for 1,400 worshippers. There are two-storied offices, meeting room. There are offices of the Lajna, the ladies. There is a large main kitchen in which the Langarhana operated. And indoor games can be played in the hall. There, the representation of the Prime Minister of Australia, a Member of Parliament was also in attendance at the occasion of the inauguration. Concetta Fieravanti Wells is her name. There was Federal Members of Parliament, Minister of Citizenship, the Leader of the Opposition. Similarly, there were many members of parliament, the Parliamentary Secretary of Law and Justice, the Area Commander of Police, the police officers, councillors, and people from different walks of life. Many people were in attendance. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, there also, as it was the inauguration of the Khilafah Jubilee Hall, I spoke with reference to the teachings of Islam, what the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is, and what the role of Khilafah in Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is. This is what I spoke briefly about. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, this also had a very good impact. A police superintendent stated, the Imam Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat has acknowledged that the extremists have given Islam a bad name. I was deeply impacted by this. The manner in which he has responded to this with the message of peace is splendid. Another guest, Indira Devi, stated, I found this address to be excellent and with great knowledge. I desire to obtain a book of Islam through which I can understand Islam better. I am prejudiced against Islam. However, generally speaking, this invitation for me was something honorable. So therefore, when she came to know of the true teachings of Islam, and they are prejudiced for the reason that there are many groups and sections of the Muslims who speak against these things. So therefore, the people in Australia should keep contact with her and should make literature available to her. Here also, there were also many other people who gave very positive viewpoints. Thereafter, in Australia, there was the inauguration of the Brisbane Mosque, which you already have heard about in my Friday sermon. There was a reception held thereafter. People from various walks of life came. There were members of parliaments, police officers, doctors, teachers, engineers, people from various organizations, people from the church, priests, and also neighbors. One neighbor, Mr. Klaus Grimm, is a Jewish by faith. He was extremely opposed to the building of the mosque. Now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, after the construction of the mosque and after seeing the behavior of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, his attitude has transformed. There is another neighbor, Mr. Ralph Grimm. He was also very opposed to the mosque. But when his misconceptions were dispelled, and he became our friend, and then he started raising his voice in support of the Jamaat. This was the case similarly with many other people. There is a deputy mayor of a city council of Logan. He stated the following, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is far advanced in serving humanity. The high services of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community makes it distinct from other communities. Every year they help clean up streets in Australia. They collect funds for the Red Cross. They donate blood and they do other services. Similarly, at the outset of this year, during the flood which hit Queensland, for 2 weeks, 50 members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat served and helped in different areas affected by the flood. It is normally said those who immigrate from outside countries are not openly integrating in a society. However, we openly state that this cannot be said about the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. In fact, these are those people who love Australia. They are giving services which are deserving of respect. This is that love and tolerance which the world stands in need of today. The police commissioner was also in attendance. He also greatly appreciated the services of the community. He stated that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat always works with us in all services. It always gives respect to all peoples and we testify to the moral courageousness of the community. After he spoke and left, there was a member of parliament sitting with me who said that this police commissioner has a very high status here. He normally does not participate in functions. I'm extremely surprised that he has come and attended your function. Another member of parliament, after listening to my address, stated, I am overwhelmed with emotions. I'm extremely impressed by it. This address was given from the heart. It has satisfied every single person with respect to the mosque. During the address of the Imam of the Jamaat, I was especially looking at the countenances and faces of the non-Muslim attendees. I realized that they were very warmly appreciating it. There was another member of parliament, I believe that perhaps this is the same person, and there was a Tablighi conversation with reference to science, what the Holy Quran and the Bible state. He says that I acknowledge that the teachings of the Holy Quran are better than the teachings of the Bible. In any case, I said that you should also read the Holy Quran, and this is what I said to the local Ahmadi there, that he should extract certain verses of the Holy Quran, and the 5-volume commentary was also given to him. Through this, the paths of preaching with the grace of the Almighty Allah are also opened up. Dr. John was a guest in attendance. He said, before coming today, I was very anxious because I am not a Muslim. I was not aware how I would be treated. However, today, Mirza Masroor Ahmed has removed all my anxieties. After this brief mention of my tour of Australia, we travelled to New Zealand. There, the first mosque that has been built there, Masjid Baitul Maqid, was inaugurated. However, before the inauguration, there is a Maori tribe, which is a very old tribe there, and there was a welcome reception from the king of the Maori tribe. The reception was arranged in the same manner as the receptions that are given for the heads of states. The king himself raised the flag of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, along with his own flag. The king does not normally remain seated at such functions, regardless of who is in attendance. However, there the king remained seated. There was a traditional ceremony that they held. Thereafter, there was a large hall which they took us to, and there we held discussions. Thereafter, we gifted him with a copy of the Holy Quran which has been translated into the Maori language. In any case, it was a very graceful function. Later, the king also came to the inauguration of the mosque. In fact, first, the queen said that she would not attend. But thereafter, she did participate. I shall first of all mention the translation of the Holy Quran into the Maori language. This was done by Mr. Shakil Ahmed Munir. He first translated 15 chapters which were published, but now he has completed the entire translation. He is no expert in languages. In fact, he was a physics professor. However, he learnt the language. And on the guidance of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV, he began translating the Holy Quran. He is 81 years old. He spent 25 years. He learned the language and he translated the Holy Quran. This took him a long time, because it is said the plurals in the Maori language took some time to comprehend. He says that my age was also a large hindrance. The newspapers also wrote about this. However, with great effort and tirelessly, he carried out this endeavor. There were certain hindrances, problems, and issues that he had to surpass. He had some translations done by others, which he checked but were not of the required standard, and therefore he gave greater attention towards this. So, for him to carry this out in this age is a great task. May Allah the Almighty reward him for this. In any case, the newspapers wrote extensively about this translation and appreciated it. I was also asked that the Maori tribe is just a small community or tribe. Why have you had it translated into the language? I said it is our task to translate the Holy Quran into every language, because not everyone can read Arabic. We will convey the message of the Holy Quran to every nation. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, one Maori person from there has taken the Pledge of Allegiance and has initiated. Two more are prepared to take the bet. This is what I have stated. Now the translation has been published. We hope and we expect that inshallah, God willing, more people will accept Islam Ahmadiyyat. As I stated, the Baitul Mawqit Mosque has been newly built. So then there was a reception held in relation to this. The Maori king and queen were also in participation, as I stated. In addition, there were many other prominent guests. People from the print and electronic media were also in attendance. Approximately 107 guests came. In terms of the impressions given by guests, there was a priest of the Anglican Church who stated, "All religions should walk forward together without any conflict." Then he says that the Imam of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, when he said that in the press the name of Islam is being defamed, this is very correct. Here I spoke with reference to the mosque, how Islam's name is being defamed, how there are misconceptions with regards to Islam in the minds of the non-Muslims. This is what I spoke on. So in response, this guest stated that the Imam of the Jamaat says that Islam's name is being defamed in the press. This is correct. Whenever there is any incident of terrorism, the media always show the mosque or the Muslims offering the prayers at the same time. As a result of this, non-Muslims assume that there is a link between Islam and terrorism, whereas the truth is, Islam has no link with extremism and terrorism. The Imam of the Jamaat has proved this in his speech. The press prominently covered the Maori event and also the function at the inauguration of the mosque. Staying in New Zealand, there was another function. This was held 800 miles from the capital city of New Zealand, Auckland. There in the parliament, there was a member of parliament who is a Sikh and is originally from India, Kawaljeet Singh. He had organized this function in the parliament building. It is called the Grand Hall. It is a very significant hall in their view. The function was held here with certain members of the parliament who were present, ambassadors and diplomats, as well as from Israel, Iran, and also from Britain, as the Deputy High Commissioner of Britain attended. There were police officers, university professors. There I spoke with reference to peace and what the world needs to do today. There were also very good impressions in relation to this. There is a non-commercial radio network in New Zealand. They host a program called Checkpoint, which is a very significant program. On its prime time, they reported on our event. The extent of the coverage in the newspapers, I will detail at the end. But nonetheless, after these two programs of the non-Muslims, of the mosque inauguration, and also of the parliament, thereafter, we travelled to Japan. There was also a reception in Nagoya, Japan, where 117 guests attended. This included the leader of the Communist Party, congressman, the mayor of Nagoya, member of the provincial parliament, representatives of Shintoism and Buddhism, 14 professors of universities, lawyers, and guests from various organizations.
Mr.
Mr. Yoshiaki, the leader of the Communist Party, and also a member of the city parliament, and also the in charge of the camp of the displaced people. He travelled 1,000 kilometers to attend the reception. He stated that after the earthquake and tsunami in 2011, the services of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat are unforgettable. I have come here to express my gratitude so that the head of this organization I could meet personally and inform him that your community and your followers are treading upon your teachings and your advice. They are replete with compassion for humanity and are fully engaged with serving mankind. Then he says that I listened to this address and I have reached the conclusion that the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat and his teaching contain the secret for peace in the world. So thus, if the true teachings of Islam are imparted to the world, then every sincere and pious person cannot refrain from acknowledging that peace is linked purely to Islam. If only these terrorists or those leaders who rely on their power and authority and are involved in inappropriate things can understand this. A well-known lawyer was also in attendance. Stating his impressions, he said the following: "From the depths of my heart, I would like to express my sentiments and emotions. In the conference held in San Francisco in 1951, Mr. Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib delivered a splendid speech, and he laid the foundation in link with this, that is, the link with Japan, and said that the peace and justice from Japan is very important for the world, because in future, Japan will play a very important role in world politics and peace. At the time, Japan was being treated in such a way in which Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib delivered a speech in favor of Japan. So in response, he says that as a result of this, this had an impact upon the people and our attitude changed, and we respect this. As a result of this respect, we have these good ties with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, and we desire to strengthen this relationship. Yet, unfortunately, today, that personality, Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib, is not respected, where he remained a foreign minister. In the courses of the primary school, it was previously mentioned that he was the foreign minister. They have now removed that, and now they have made someone else the foreign minister, and are presenting a wrong history to the children. He then says that the services of the Jamaat after the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan are unforgettable. The role and disposition of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat and their sentiments of serving whichever country they reside in makes this community distinct in the entire world. So therefore, this is that important point which every Ahmadi should remember. He then says that today we saw the beautiful depiction of Islam. We have reached the conclusion that if the world can unite at any one hand, then it is at the hand of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community alone, who have one leader or imam. There are various other impressions similarly of other people. Nonetheless, all the details cannot be conveyed here. I've only briefly mentioned this. The impressions have not been fully covered. The details will be published for the English-speaking people in the various magazines and newspapers, in Al Fazl and others. In terms of the circulation of the newspapers who covered these events, of the tour, of the reception, and the surrounding events, who conveyed the message of Islam or who interviewed me, and which were broadcast directly on TV or on radio. I shall present some details regarding this. First, there were some journalists of Indonesia. There is a publication called Tempo. They published my interview. It is a very well-known magazine. They publish 100,000 copies weekly. There was another newspaper also who covered. Then there are two newspapers of Western Java, the Tribune Jabar and Khud al-An, Khud al-Hayat. It is also of West Java. Its circulation is 60 to 70,000. Another newspaper has also a large circulation in which this was also published. In Australia was where the print and electronic media covered this widely. The National TV ABC, as well as the National ABC Radio, they interviewed me and also provided a news report. They published many of the answers of the questions I gave. This TV and radio are listened and watched all over the country, including in the Pacific Islands. 1.5 to 2 million people listen to this. ABC News is a national news channel of Australia. It is listened in 46 countries. It has an audience of over 10 million. The person who interviewed me said that because this is listened to even beyond Australia, we receive very good feedback with reference to your interview. They said that we are surprised of how many people in the world gave attention to this. Then they said, I'll be very happy if when you returned, we should give you more time for an interview. This interview is also broadcast on well-known program Newsline. As I stated, it is watched or listened to in 46 countries. The interviewer is a famous journalist there in the media. He normally interviews the various heads of states and prime ministers who visit Australia. His programs are watched and listened to with great significance. As I stated, 10 to 15 million people listen to this. The overall analysis of the media coverage in New Zealand is as follows. TV1 shows the Maori TV. The Maori King's reception was covered on this channel. This is watched all over the country. TV1 is the foremost channel for covering the news of the country and various circumstances. Approximately 620,000 people watch it daily. They also provided a report on Masjid Baitul Maqeed. The radio program from the Maori King was also provided. In terms of the coverage of the newspapers with reference to the mosque inauguration, and also with reference to my tour, the Sunday Star is a large newspaper of the country, which has a circulation of 160,000. However, more than 500,000 people read it, which I believe must be through the internet. There is the Manaku Courier, which is a newspaper based in Auckland. It is published in 69,000 copies, however it is read by 194,000 people. Then there is another newspaper which is read by approximately 96,000 people. Online media, website Scoop, this is one of the most famous websites of the country. 450,000 people approximately visit the site. So news was given on this, with reference to the mosque and also the inauguration. Then there is the print media in Japan. There is a very large Christian newspaper, which has a circulation in excess of 20 million. They provided coverage with reference to my tour and also published my photo. Then he wrote that there is a sect of Islam. Its leader has come from its center in London. He announced the establishment of the first mosque here. It was previously a sports complex. He then said that the Imam of the Jamaat says that each and every person can come to this mosque irrespective of their culture, religion, or nationality. In short, there were various interviews with the journalists, etc. In it, the beautiful teachings of Islam are indeed conveyed. The purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was conveyed. The concept of warfare in Islam was also elucidated. And how the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat carries out preaching. The lack of peace in Muslim countries and its solution. How real peace can be established in the world. This was also discussed. What the status of Jesus, peace be upon him, was. The relationship between the Jamaat and Khilafat. This was also discussed. In short, a very large introduction of the Jamaat was given through various of these subjects. If we collate all these newspapers, all these channels, all these radios and magazines, etc., in terms of their viewers, listeners, and those who read them, in terms of their own estimates, then in this region, the message would have reached to approximately 35 million people. So thus, Allah the Almighty is facilitating the introduction of the beautiful teachings of Islam everywhere. And the world is coming to know of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the beautiful teachings of Islam are also being presented. This is in accordance with this statement of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that this is the age of furthering and completing the publication relating to Islam. All this print media coverage, which is far beyond any efforts that we make, this is a practical testimony of Allah the Almighty of this. It was impossible for us to achieve this, that on such a large and wide scale, not only within these four countries, but through it, in more than 46 countries, which includes Pakistan. Because I also received a report from there with reference to the interview of mine that was published. So, the introduction and the message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat was conveyed to 46 countries. So if one possesses intellect, this one aspect alone is enough, proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, this humble one, in accordance with the direction of وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ, and as for the bounty of your Lord, do relate it to others. I do not see any harm in declaring that the merciful God has, through his grace and bounty, bestowed all these characteristics on me in abundance. He has not sent me empty-handed, nor has he appointed me without any accompanying signs. In fact, he has bestowed all these signs upon me, which are being manifested and will continue to be manifested. God Almighty will go on manifesting these signs until the truth is clearly established. May Allah the Almighty enable us to understand our responsibilities and fulfill them. There is some tragic news. There are three funerals that I will lead after the Friday prayers. The first is of our martyred brother, Mr. Bashir Ahmed Ghiani. He is the son of Mr. Abdul Ghafoor Sahib Ghiani. He was of Arangi town, Karachi, where he was martyred on the 1st of November. He was heading for the Friday prayers with his neighbor, Mr. Muhammad Akram Sahib Qureshi, and his 11-year-old son. They left around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They were going towards Betul Hafiz, the mosque in Orangi town. They were going on foot, because the house is approximately 2 kilometers away from it. They were just near to the mosque when from behind, 2 unknown assailants on a motorcycle started firing at him. He was wounded severely. One bullet hit his forehead and 2 more on his chest. The child who was traveling along had a bullet hit on his leg, which went through him. So thus, he was taken immediately to the hospital, but Mr. Bashir Ahmad Kiani Sahib attained martyrdom there. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Through the firing of the assailants, apart from Mr. Muhammad Ahmad Wajid, who was hit on the leg, 2 other non-Ahmadi people who were standing in the market were also wounded. Mr. Muhammad Ahmad Wajid, who is a child, has been discharged from the hospital and is in a better state. May Allah the Almighty grant him full recovery. Mr. Bashir Ahmed Kayani's elder son-in-law on 31st August was martyred. His son, Mr. Ijaz Ahmed Kayani, was martyred in the same area of Orangi town on 18th September by the enemies. Ahmadiyyat originated in his family from 2 of his uncles, Mr. Yusuf Kayani and Mr. Saeed Ahmed Kayani. They took the bayat in 1936 and they entered into the Jamaat which follows the Khalifa. This was after study and research. Mr. Bashir Ahmad Kayani, after his matriculation studies, entered into the army as a soldier. In 1979, he was transferred to Karachi. From there, he retired. The deceased age was 68. He was a very good moral person. He was a person of emotional disposition. He was extremely enthusiastic to invite people to Allah. Whenever he had the opportunity, he would preach to his friends. He was an extremely bold, courageous and fearless person. Immediately after the martyrdom of his son-in-law and son, he was not scared. In fact, he would reassure his children. At the day of his martyrdom, he said to his son, Mr. Izaz Ahmed Kiani, that we must safeguard ourselves. We must not leave from here. The Qaid Ilaka says that after the martyrdom of Ijaz Kiani, which was after the martyrdom of his son, when he was going to the airport to drop off all of the family. Then the mother of Mr. Ijaz Kiani, seeing her sadness, he asked for a wheelchair. Upon this, Mr. Bashir Ahmad Kiani said that only one of my sons has been martyred. Do you remain for us to remain like this just now? So he had a lot of self-respect. During his army service in Saudi Arabia, where he was posted, it was written that do not write Ahmadiyyat on your passport. He said, I will never be able to do this. I do not accept this condition. The martyr leaves behind in his family his wife, Mutarama Fatima Bashir Kiani, and 2 sons, Mr. Izaz Kiani and Mr. Shehbaz Kiani. He has 4 daughters. One is Tahira Zuhur Kiani, who is the widowed of one of the martyred. Then there is Nahida Tayyib, Shahida Bashir, Sajida Bashir, and Vajiha Gambal. May Allah the Almighty go on elevating the rank of the martyred. And may Allah the Almighty grant patience to all of those left behind. One of the relatives of Mr. Bashir Ahmad Kiani wrote that after 2 of his relatives were martyred, I said, why do you not leave behind Karachi? Because he was in a state of sadness and he was tearful. When suddenly he stood up upright and stated, how can this be possible? We have to spread Ahmadiyya to the corners of the world, yet you are saying that we should leave behind Karachi. These sacrifices actually increase our courageousness. The enemy cannot weaken our faith. May Allah the Almighty bring about the means of the wrath of these enemies. The second funeral, which would have been read by people here already, is of someone who resided here, our brother Mia Abdus Sami Umar Sahib. He was a heart patient. He had an operation which could not be successful, and during his time in hospital, after a short time, he passed away. He was 69 years old. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the paternal grandson of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, and he was the maternal grandson of Hadrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib. The Majlis Imsarullah UK members are all aware that he has served as Qaid Talim and Qaid Tarbiyat. He worked with great sincerity, devotion and loyalty. He was a very prayerful person, very kind and very loving person. He was a very humble person who relied purely on Allah the Almighty. He had great love and loyalty towards Khilafat. Whenever he had any task, he would always inform me of it. His recitation of the Holy Quran was very good. One of his brothers, Munir Umar Sahib, was martyred on 28th May 2010. He leaves behind in his family one wife, one daughter, and two sons. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank. The third funeral is of Mr. Muzammil Ilyas, who was a student of Jamia Ahmadiyya. He lived in the district of Hafizabad. On 9 September, in Jamia itself, he suddenly, at the time of Fajr, he passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was 17 years old. He was a student of Mumaida in Jamia Ahmadiyya. He joined Jamia with great enthusiasm. But nonetheless, Allah the Almighty so willed. The superintendent of the hostel said that he was very prayerful. He would recite the Quran regularly. He would read the books of the Promised Messiah very keenly. He listened to the Friday sermons very attentively and with great love and devotion. His maternal grandfather said that he would never leave his tahajjud prayers. During his duties of the Hifazat of the Markaz, he would relate his wish to be a martyr. Both his parents have showed great patience, and they have said that we are satisfied with the will of God. They are very grateful that the sacrifice of our son has been accepted so quickly. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased and grant the parents patience.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر